Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, we do in fact give you great thanks and praise today for the blood of your Son Jesus, for the atonement of our sins. And Lord, so that we can sit here this morning in peace and joy, knowing that our Lord Jesus not only paid the price for our sins, but he rose from the dead, the first fruit of our own promised resurrection. Lord, may we take this joy about in our daily lives and share it with those that you put in our path. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What now? You think about it, anytime you get beyond some big moment in life or some great celebration, we tend to think, what now? Now that we are beyond this significant spot in our lives, what now? Events that come to mind is like a wedding. Take a wedding. For the 9 months that Robin and I were engaged, her mom put in hundreds of hours planning for that wedding. It's all she did for 9 months. It was amazing. Now for her, once all the I do's were over, the what now was to stop, to rest, to do anything except plan a wedding. How about a college graduation? You finish that degree, you've put in those, hopefully only 4 years, 4 years of school, you have that degree in hand. I didn't finish in 4 years, so it's all right. You have that degree in hand, you paid for it, and the what now is to go get a job. Go get a job, get to work, do something to be productive in the world around you. And the moment that I think is most near and dear to my heart is when a mother and a father welcome their first child. When you bring that first child into the world, wow, does it impact your daily life. It disrupts everything beautifully. Every part of your life is changed. And so for that new party of three, their focus is very, very simple. Their what now is very clear. Survive. For those first few weeks of life, all you're focused on is surviving long enough until you develop this balance and rhythm of life now as a family of three. And it is one of the most difficult, but also one of the most amazingly wonderful moments of life. What about after Easter? Last Sunday, we had this incredible time of worship here in our sanctuary. And the whole Holy Week was this meaningful, reflective time as a church family, as we gathered and we worshiped the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God for that time. But what now? Our story from Acts that was read this morning is one of my favorite stories from the book of Acts. But what we need to do before we dive into that story is that we need some context. Because last Sunday was Christ is risen, the tomb is empty, the resurrected Lord. And then fast forward to these guys are out in the world proclaiming the gospel. So let's get some context to this big leap that these early apostles experienced. So by this point in their life, these apostles, Christ had died. Christ had risen. He'd appeared to them again in the flesh, standing before him. They walked with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They touched his very flesh, knowing he was fully human and alive. But then Jesus, he ascended. He rose up into heaven to sit at the right hand of God until his promised return into the earth. That's some incredibly emotional stuff for these group of men. Imagine that. They're at the low of lows when their Savior, their God in the flesh, took his last breath and he died. But then the miraculous joy and relief when they realize he's not dead anymore. The tomb is empty. It's trying to think of how do we connect with this? What in our lives could even come close to this? And the only thing I can come up with is if you have a loved one that was diagnosed with a terminal illness and the doc says, you have like a week to live. And then the doc comes back in a week and goes, I can't explain it, but you're alive and well, you're cured. A transition from certain death to living on. But then Jesus, he departs. He ascends into heaven. He was with them in this risen state, and all was well, and they were joyful. But then he leaves. Talk about bittersweet. But Jesus didn't just ascend and give them that thumbs up and go, good luck, fellas. I'll check in with you at some point. No, he told them two very, very critical things. First, he said, the Holy Spirit will be with you. In everything that you do, God's Holy Spirit will be your constant companion, guide, source of strength. And then, number two, he gave them a mission. He gave them their what now. And he was very specific about that what now. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. What? That's no small thing. Which is why Jesus said, you will do this through the Holy Spirit. Jesus told him the Holy Spirit will be your confidence. The Holy Spirit will be your courage. The Holy Spirit will even give you the desire and the energy to go talk about Jesus. And not only just to do the task, but to do it boldly, to do it joyfully. They would lean on the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. That was their what now. So that's where we pick up in this Acts story. You have Peter and John and the apostles, and they're in Jerusalem, and they're in the temple, and they're teaching about Jesus. And the high priest aren't having it. They thought that maybe if we put Jesus to death, it'll squash all this Jesus Christ Messiah nonsense that these apostles have been carrying about. So what'd they do? They arrested him. They put him in prison. Throw him behind walls. Put him behind doors. Lock it up. Chains. All the works. That'll do it. That'll end that annoying, pestering preaching of the gospel. Right? Here's the thing, and we see this all throughout Scripture. When someone works against the will of God, and someone goes against the sharing of the gospel, God tends to do something big. So God sends an angel into the prison to unlock the doors. An angel of the Lord is sent into a prison to do something that mortal man could not do. Physically open doors, unlock chains, and then lead a group of men out of a guarded building. I wish the Scripture had described this in detail and given us an image of the exact thing that the apostles were seeing in that moment. It doesn't, but it had to have been amazing. It had to have been shocking. The apostles don't say anything, right? They just follow that angel out of the prison. But I like to think they had a few seconds in their new freedom. Maybe, let's be generous and say they had 5 to 10 seconds to feel their new freedom and go, hey, what do we do now? And then the angel tells them. The angel says, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life, capital L, life. Go back to the temple and keep talking about Jesus. Now, yes, these were the apostles, anointed and ordained by Christ Jesus himself to go into the world and to do this huge task. But these were also ordinary, mortal, broken, sinful men. So at some point, I like to think that one of those guys, they heard that from the angel and they said, really? You want us to go back into the very spot that got us arrested last time and do the very thing that got us arrested? And then what are they going to do? They're going to arrest us again. It might even kill us. But the story goes on, verse 21. And when they heard this, when the apostles heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. They went right back into the temple and got about the what now. Go and make disciples. The apostles, their full attention was focused on the what now that Jesus had given them. And to them, it was joyful, privileged work. They didn't hide from this. Why? Because what they were sharing, what they were telling to people, just might bring someone to actual faith in Jesus and the gift of eternal life. It's a beautiful example of standing in the face of adversity and trusting God and leading on the Holy Spirit to do something that otherwise doesn't seem logical. Jesus said it was necessary work, absolutely critical work, but he never said, this will be easy. Jesus never said, it's going to be a walk in the park, guys. No, in fact, for the apostles, this what now was going to mean they were hated. They're ridiculed, embarrassed, disrespected. They were public outcasts, shamed in every way. And a lot of them were killed for it, martyred, sent to an early grave because they proclaimed Christ Jesus as the risen Savior. Every time I read these stories in the scriptures, my selfish Collin County brain starts asking questions. Apostles, why do this? Apostles, you already have God's forgiveness. Apostles, you are already saved. Apostles, you already have the promise of eternal life. So apostles, why stick your neck out and do something that is going to bring harm into your life? You already have all of the riches of faith in hand. To answer that, quite simply, for the eternal well-being of the other person. For the apostles, it was for the eternal well-being of people they knew, as well as people that were complete strangers. See, what the apostles did is they weighed their own temporary earthly well-being against the eternal well-being of other people. And the eternal well-being of the other people won out. The eternal life of the other people was far more important than the comforts and the peace of the apostles' temporary earthly life. And no, the apostles weren't crazy. They weren't out of their minds. They weren't lunatics that had just followed this delusional idea. No, the apostles simply understood the gravity of the matter. The gravity of the matter is if you know Jesus, you have the promise of eternal life. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to suffer forever. They simply understood the gravity of the matter. And it is as simple and black and white as that. For the disciples, the now what of Christ's death, resurrection, ascension was to go in the world and talk about him. And come what may, they were going to go in the world and share the hope and the joy and the peace and the rest that they have in Christ. And they did it just like Jesus did. One person at a time, then one more person, then one more person. And they went one soul at a time until Christ Jesus called them heavenward. Now, you and I, it's not likely we're going to have some angel prison door moment, some amazing, miraculous moment. But the what now is still the same. Tell someone about Jesus. Take the love of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus into the world and share it with someone that needs to know it and hear it. When I was in high school, there was a moment where I was stupid enough to do something so stupid that I earned myself a week in in-school suspension. Any of my people out there? Raise your hands, right? In-school suspension. So I'm in Tuesday morning of in-school suspension. I'm out in that portable building on the edge of our campus. And I'm in there with all the other inmates, and the knock comes on the door. And I hear that. And everyone turns and looks at that door anytime it knocks. So the warden gets up, and she goes to the door, and she opens up that door. And who's standing in the doorway? My German teacher, Frau Schultz. We called her Frau, because that's Mrs., right? I didn't realize that until probably third year. Oh, it's Mrs. So, Frau Schultz is standing there in the door, and I hear her say, yes, I'd like to speak to Mr. Bray. And right as I heard that, I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. And Frau Schultz was no nonsense. So I expected that once I stepped out on the porch of that portable building, Frau Schultz was going to let me have it. So I stepped out there. She didn't let me have it. All I got from Frau Schultz were words of encouragement. All I got from Frau Schultz were words of compassion and kindness and understanding and love. Frau Schultz had 150 other students that weren't in a state of suspension because of their own stupidity. But she chose to put it on hold, put all that on hold, walk out to the edge of our campus that Tuesday morning to speak some love and some kindness and some understanding into the life of a dumb kid that had gone astray. To win me back to what was right. And that moment was huge in my life. Our what now post-Easter is to take the love of Christ out into the world. Because brothers and sisters, there are so many people living day to day without knowing Jesus. There are so many people living in traps of darkness trying to figure out how to get through this life, fearing what comes after this life because they don't yet know Jesus. The crucified, risen Lord Jesus is transformative. It's changed our lives. It's given us this perpetual hope and this perpetual peace about now and about however many days we have ahead and about eternity. It's our role to take that out into the world. Share that with just one person. Just one person. Let the Holy Spirit go to work. Our Lord Jesus, like I told some preschool kids, is still risen. He's still risen. What a privilege we have to go out in the world and share that good news with people that need to hear it. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are forgiven and redeemed and restored through the blood of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that our Lord Jesus is risen from the dead, that he is alive this day, and he stands as our Savior. Lord, we pray that you would use each one of us out in the world in whatever vocations you've given us. Use us in a way that we can share the fact that he not only died but rose for us, that he rose for every person that turns and professes faith in him, that they too would have eternal life. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.